Part 3. You will listen to an interview with Norma Powell, who is a financial advisor. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at Part 3.
In recent years, surveys conducted into the problem of debt have produced some startling results. Of all declared bankrupts last year, almost 15% were under 30 years old, representing a sharp rise since previous years. Various reasons have been cited as to why this is happening, but the question remains, what are we to do about the growing problem of debt among the young? With me on the program today is Norma Powell, who hopefully can shed some light on this worrying matter. Norma, what can we do?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the causes of the problem are many. For one thing, young people are encouraged to get into debt by the sheer abundance of credit cards and store cards on offer to them. It's terribly easy for college students to run up an overdraft unchecked, not realizing that they will then spend the first 10 years of their working lives paying the money back. That's assuming they find a job. But personally, I think the root of the problem lies deeper. In this consumer society of ours, where the acquisition of material goods gives you status, parents often fail to give their children guidance in how to handle their money. They are negligent in their responsibility to warn them about the hidden dangers involved in running up credit card bills, for instance.
Don't you think it's a little harsh to lay all the blame at the parents' door?
Well, perhaps schools should share some of the burden. Nevertheless, when it comes to finance, children generally learn from what their parents do.
So, what would you have us parents do?
Generally speaking, you could talk to your children about the value of saving and how important it is to be responsible about money. Of course, setting a good example through your own spending habits is crucial if you want your children to listen to you. Gone are the days of don't do as I do as I say. Another useful learning tool is the weekly pocket money. It need only be a modest amount, but as long as it's fixed and paid on a particular day of the week, you can use this to teach your children how to gauge the money they have to spend in 1 week. And how much money they need to save if they want to buy, say, a new CD or a game for the PlayStation.
Why should the amount of pocket money be fixed?
Well, this teaches children to learn to live within their means. They must plan a saving strategy if they want to buy something big. They need to project how long it will take them to save up a certain amount. These are important lessons in life.
Good point. But what can we do to encourage the reluctant child to save? My teenage daughter no sooner gets money in her hand than it's gone, usually on a new pair of shoes or clothes.
In this case, give them an incentive to save. Bribe them if necessary. Tell them that if they save a certain amount, you will add so much to it as a bonus. If you open a bank account for them, older children will also benefit from having their own bank book.
You mean it'll make them feel grown up and independent?
More than that, there's a real sense of achievement attached to depositing money in the bank and watching your savings grow. Remember how you felt when you opened your first account? Things haven't changed that much. We've simply lost sight of our priorities. The problem, of course, with most teenagers is peer pressure and the power of brand names. This now affects boys as much as girls. You can't convince them to buy cheap trainers when all their friends are wearing a popular, more expensive brand, but at least you can make them aware of the cost involved in staying in fashion.
Well, Norma, you've given our listeners lots to think about. Thank you very much for coming on the program, and I, for one, will be implementing some of the measures you mentioned.
Now you'll hear the recording again.
In recent years, surveys conducted into the problem of debt have produced some startling results. Of all declared bankrupts last year, almost 15% were under 30 years old, representing a sharp rise since previous years. Various reasons have been cited as to why this is happening, but the question remains, what are we to do about the growing problem of debt among the young? With me on the program today is Norma Powell, who hopefully can shed some light on this worrying matter. Norma, what can we do?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the causes of the problem are many. For one thing, young people are encouraged to get into debt by the sheer abundance of credit cards and store cards on offer to them. It's terribly easy for college students to run up an overdraft unchecked, not realizing that they will then spend the first 10 years of their working lives paying the money back. That's assuming they find a job. But personally, I think the root of the problem lies deeper. In this consumer society of ours, where the acquisition of material goods gives you status, parents often fail to give their children guidance in how to handle their money. They are negligent in their responsibility to warn them about the hidden dangers involved in running up credit card bills, for instance.
Don't you think it's a little harsh to lay all the blame at the parents' door?
Well, perhaps schools should share some of the burden. Nevertheless, when it comes to finance, children generally learn from what their parents do.
So, what would you have us parents do?
Generally speaking, you could talk to your children about the value of saving and how important it is to be responsible about money. Of course, setting a good example through your own spending habits is crucial if you want your children to listen to you. Gone are the days of don't do as I do as I say. Another useful learning tool is the weekly pocket money. It need only be a modest amount, but as long as it's fixed and paid on a particular day of the week, you can use this to teach your children how to gauge the money they have to spend in 1 week, and how much money they need to save if they want to buy, say, a new CD or a game for the PlayStation.
Why should the amount of pocket money be fixed?
Well, this teaches children to learn to live within their means. They must plan a saving strategy if they want to buy something big. They need to project how long it will take them to save up a certain amount. These are important lessons in life.
Good point. But what can we do to encourage the reluctant child to save? My teenage daughter no sooner gets money in her hand than it's gone, usually on a new pair of shoes or clothes.
In this case, give them an incentive to save. Bribe them if necessary. Tell them that if they save a certain amount, you will add so much to it as a bonus. If you open a bank account for them, older children will also benefit from having their own bank book.
You mean it'll make them feel grown up and independent?
More than that, there's a real sense of achievement attached to depositing money in the bank and watching your savings grow. Remember how you felt when you opened your first account? Things haven't changed that much. We've simply lost sight of our priorities. The problem, of course, with most teenagers is peer pressure and the power of brand names. This now affects boys as much as girls. You can't convince them to buy cheap trainers when all their friends are wearing a popular, more expensive brand, but at least you can make them aware of the cost involved in staying in fashion.
Well, Norma, you've given our listeners lots to think about. Thank you very much for coming on the program, and I, for one, will be implementing some of the measures you mentioned.
Now you'll hear the recording again.